has come, we wonder if the Father really cares, for we can't see his face for the tears that flood. But when we examine all the blessings that are ours today, we realize trials work together for our good. Trials like these, they mold us to the image of his Son. Trials like these, they bring us to our knees. Trials like these prepare us for the work that we must do. So lift your voice and thank him for trials like these. So don't think it strange, this fiery trial which is here to try you, but rejoice that you're partakers of his suffering. For in our suffering we find sweet fellowship with the Savior like we've never known. So be exceeding glad for all the riches your trials will bring. Trials like these, they mold us to the image of his Son. Trials like these, they bring us to our knees. Trials like these prepare us for the work that we must do. So lift your voice and thank him for trials like these. Trials like these prepare us for the work that we must do. So lift your voice and thank him for trials like these.
Combs, hope you listened to the words that he sung. And, you know, God has to prepare all of us for a time such as this. Can you imagine our forefathers looking hundreds and hundreds of years ahead? Do you think they could have even imagined we'd be where we are today? Think they could imagine that Christianity would be in the condition and churches in the condition that they're in? I wonder how many of them are thinking, you mean I gave my life for this? You ever thought about that? How many millions of martyrs that gave their life for this? For us to just think that it's of no use and that, hey, thank you, buddy. What are you going to do for me tomorrow? Yet there are millions of people that gave their lives so that we can have the freedoms that we have today. And that's another subject for another time, though. Take your Bible, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to be very practical with you tonight, church, and I hope that you'll give me a little leeway to do so. But I do want to use a verse in Scripture to base what I want to talk to you about, and there's basically two words that I'm going to focus on out of this verse in Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. Would you stand with me, please? Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. Paul, whom I believe the author of Hebrews is, writes, saying, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want you to go back in the middle of that verse to this statement that Paul makes, and the sin which doth so, in these two words, easily beset. Easily beset. Now, did you notice here he says, and the sin? You say, well, man, you mean he's only talking about one sin? Well, I think what he's referring to here is the sin that is a root for all other sins. And I think it's without question the sin that so easily besets us, that spawns so many other sins in our life, is pride. Pride becomes the root that spawns all other sins in our life. Matter of fact, it was so powerful that it was able to overcome Lucifer in heaven in a perfect situation. That's how powerful pride is. And yet he says, the sin which doth so easily, easily beset us. I want to talk to you about battling besetting sins tonight. Father, would you bless our time together? Help us to learn from the Bible. We're thankful for the privilege that we have to serve. We look forward to your grace tonight. Teach us, Holy Ghost of God, we pray. We ask it tonight in the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Now, church, throughout our life, as a believer, we've all experienced some great victories over and successes over certain sins that, boy, I'm telling you, that just really seem to have us down. And we fought those things, and we prayed, and we fasted, and we did everything. And boy, you know what? God gave us the victory over those. And boy, we rejoiced. And then came along another group of sin in our life. And boy, we fought and got victory over those. But this particular sin the Bible is talking about is a sin that shows up all the time. And through it, it's the one that sparks all other sins in our life. It's the granddaddy of all sins. And the reason I believe that is because God in Scripture says He hates it so much. He hates pride. He hates a proud look. About so strongly, He said it's an abomination to Him. But you know, God has used His Word. He's used preaching. He's used circumstances. He's used counseling to give us a lot of these victories in our life over certain sins. Now, because we've put to action the course that gave us the victory and we reaped the benefits and the blessings of it, these triumphs brought joy and excitement to our life. You see, when that sin had such a grip on our lives and it was smothering us to death, boy, we just didn't serve worth a flip, did we? Boy, I mean, we couldn't do anything for God because that sin was smothering us. It was so engulfing our lives, very few of us had the joy of serving God. Boy, I'm telling you, once we got victory over that thing, man, the joy came back. We began to sing in the church service again. We began to go out soul winning again. We began to look for places to serve. Boy, when we got victory over a certain sin in our life. But, however, our incomplete victories over certain sins have plagued us for years. You see, you're never, ever going to reach a place where you ever have victory over all sins. I wish we could. Now, there's coming a day when this mortal shall put on immortality and this corruptible shall put on incorruption. I'm going to have total victory through Jesus Christ, but not until then. So you know what? I'm going to have sins that are going to attack me and I'm going to have to deal with on a regular basis. Now, particular sins seem to haunt us day and night and went out in our lives more often than we'd like. There's a particular sin or sins that are roots of pride that plague you and I day and night. Now, for most people in here, it may be different sins that seem to beset you or overcome you. And because we've not conquered these sins, we've allowed them to keep us from meaningful service, meaningful worship, and a meaningful walk with God. You know what the sins are? They're sins that beset us. Now, if we're going to pursue the subject I want to talk about tonight, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to look at two things. We're going to have to look at the sin, and then we're going to have to look at the situation. Because that's exactly what Paul addressed. He said, the sin which doth so easily beset us. I think No question in my mind, the sin he's talking about here is pride. No question. Because it is the root of all other sins. So powerful, as I mentioned earlier, it overthrew Lucifer in heaven. Now, here's what I want you to do. Out beside your Bible, circle the word beset, and I want you to draw a line out beside your Bible, and I want you to write this definition. The word beset simply means to surround. To surround. You ever feel like a certain sin just surrounds you and entangles you to a point to where you feel like, man, it's going to be hard to escape and get back to where I need to be? That's what the word beset means. It means to encompass or to surround you. Now, church, many of us in our Christian life have been surrounded by a particular sin or sins that we just cannot seem to get the victory over. We have fought it. We have done everything that we can think of. We've prayed. We've read the Bible. We've got counseling. And it just seems he puts a stranglehold on us. It's kind of like this. Kind of like walking down a path one day and you slip off into a pool of quicksand. Now, I don't know if you've ever fallen into quicksand. I have never fallen into quicksand, but I've fallen into mud before that I thought was quicksand and couldn't get out. Matter of fact, I did eventually get out without my boots. They stayed in the mud. You know what? I could have cared less at that point, right? I was scared to death. I thought, man, I'm going down. I got out of there, left my boots there, forget it, I'll go home barefooted. Now, quicksand, if you've ever been there, there's several things about quicksand you need to know about. First of all, to battle physically of yourself, you know what it's going to cause you to do? Sink. If you fight against it, you're going by yourself, you're going to sink further and further and further. And what quicksand does is it immobilizes your progress. You can't move. You're stuck. And your plans, listen, you can sit there in quicksand and think, man, life, if I could just get that limb over yonder, if I could just reach out there and grab that hunk of grass, I could get out of it. The problem is, in the process of trying to reach over and get it, you're going to sink. You see, it immobilizes your progress. It paralyzes you with fear. Tell you one thing, that time I stepped off in that mud and I sunk down about waist deep and I couldn't move, friend. I mean, I couldn't get out. There was nobody around. And I thought, well, man, out of all the ways to go to heaven, man, I can't believe I'm going to go to heaven and smother in mud. And I looked out and said, Lord, you got to be kidding. This is it? This is the way I'm going to go in mud? Well, I got out of that, but let me tell you something. I was afraid. And you know, that's what quicksand does. That's what besetting sins do. They paralyze us with fear. But probably out of most of all of these things that I felt and stuff, it frustrates. Besetting sins frustrate you. They frustrate you because of the failure to it over and over and over again. And we get frustrated in our Christian life. Now, let me say this to you, church. To escape and free yourself, you're going to have help from someone else. Because you're not going to do this. You're not going to conquer this yourself. You see, since sin's a spiritual problem, then we've got to rely on spiritual help from God to overcome them. Now, there is a sin that so easily besets us. I believe the root Paul's talking about is pride. But I want you to look at the second word, and that's the word easily. The word easily. Draw a line, circle that word, draw a line to your margin, and write this, without difficulty. Without difficulty. So he says there is a sin that so easily, without difficulty, surrounds you. Now what I want to do is I want to take and use some practical things tonight to help you and me to be able to battle these besetting sins. Now, I want to say first of all that every one of you that's a believer here tonight is built with an alarm system. Everybody, if you're born again, when God saved you, the Holy Ghost of God came inside you and he became your alarm system. You know what he does? He alarms you that there's intruders. He alarms you in your conscience. He alarms you in the presence of others. You see, his job is to teach, to guide in the way of all truth, but it's also to help you to remember, to help remind you of some things. And he'll alert you of any intruders. Whether you address it or not is up to you. But he will alarm you. The alarm's going to go off, and you know, oh my goodness, here's that sin that just seems to grab me all of the time. Now, for a sin to easily beset us, church, think about this. It means it's found a weakness or an easy access to make entrance inside. That sin has found easy access. That's the reason Paul described it as easily. He said it is not finding any difficulty to find its way into your life. He said it surrounds you, encompasses you, and the reason being is because there's no opposition. There's no opposition to it to get into your life and my life. Let me give you an illustration. It's like leaving the front door open for a thief. You don't lock the front door. He didn't even have to work hard to get into your house, to steal everything, to trash your house out. There was no deterrence, no opposition, see, to keep him out. Now let me ask you this, how effective or what good is an alarm system if you keep leaving the doors open all the time? What good is it if all we do is keep the doors open for these besetting sins to get into our life, if all we do is keep all the doors unlocked? You see, when a thief comes, do you know what he does? He expects opposition, doesn't he? He doesn't expect you to just invite him into your home and leave the front door open for him with a sign there's milk and cookies in the refrigerator. Right? He expects opposition. And yet for most of us, these besetting sins find no opposition whatsoever in our life. Now let me tell you why I believe, church, why I think some of the reason that these besetting sins have such a grip in our lives and seem to get into our lives on such an easy, frequent basis. Here's what I want you to write down. I want you to write down some times when besetting sins seem to surface. Have you ever noticed there are certain times that they seem to come after you? There'll be certain, man, you'll go 4, 5, 6, 8 days. You'll think, man, I ain't seen that critter in a long time. Wonder where he is. Well, good night, don't invite him. But he'll be back. But you know what? He's looking for a time. That besetting sin, he's looking for a time that he can hit you the hardest. And here's what I found, and I'm just going to give you some practical things. In my life, this is when I found besetting sins seem to surface. All right, first of all, when I'm tired. When I'm tired. It seems when I'm weary and fatigued, whether it's due to work or whether it's due to the lack of proper sleep or proper rest, I find myself, when I'm tired, it seems like the besetting sins seem to come after me by the droves. Fatigue does that to you. See, what fatigue does is it breaks down your will to resist. That's the reason it's important. Now listen, I'm not trying to be a clinical psychologist. It's important to get enough sleep. I like sleep. It's good for you. If you don't believe it, go without it for a while. Now, I'm just telling you, there's certain times that I find besetting sins really seem to be aggressive. And that's many times when I'm tired, weary, or fatigued. Number two. Let me tell you another time I find besetting sins that really seem to surface, not only when I'm tired, number two, when I'm sick. When I'm sick. When I'm not in good health. When I'm impaired. Physically weak. From some type of bodily malfunction. And then what this happens is it begins to affect my appetite. And I ain't hungry, right? You know what you want to do when you're sick? You want to be left alone. You don't want to eat. You don't want to do any of that kind of stuff. And yet I find out that besetting sins seem to surface when I'm tired and when I'm sick. Number three, when I'm stressed. When I'm stressed. That's pressure, under a lot of pressure, under a lot of force. And usually stress leads to spontaneous frustration, which leads to anger. Anybody ever get angry? You know why it normally is? Stress. Stress. Read an article some years ago. Very famous doctor, and I was in a waiting room somewhere, and I read this article about this doctor, and he said, I'll tell you what the number one killer in America is. It's not heart disease. It's not cancer. He said it's stress. Stress is killing more people today than cancer and heart disease combined. Now, I'm here to tell you, I find out that when I'm tired, when I'm sick, when I'm stressed, it leads to frustration, which leads to anger. Let me give you a perfect illustration of a guy that was under stress that let besetting sins get him, and that was King Saul. Guy was always stressed. You ever notice that? The two things about King Saul that he had. Number one, he seemed to be always stressed out, and he was the most paranoid individual I've ever read about in the Bible. Am I right? He's paranoid. But you know why he was paranoid? Because he was stressed out. And when you think somebody's after your kingdom, you'll get a little stressed, right? You think somebody's trying to take your life, that'll stress you out a little bit. And so he was stressed. And yet he let that besetting sin of his jealousy and anger and frustration get into his life. And then I find number four, besetting sin seemed to surface when I'm tired, when I'm sick, when I'm stressed, and number four, when I'm sorrowing. That's grief. That's unexpected loss. You see, this can produce, church, discouragement and loneliness. Let me give you an illustration I gave you Sunday. Remember Achish, king of the Philistines, sent David and his men back, said, "You can't fight with us." They left their wives and kids in Ziklag when they got back. Remember what happened to the city? The city was burned. Their possessions, wives and children, were all taken. Now, they didn't just say, "Wow, man, I can't believe that happened." No, the Bible said they began to weep till they had no more power to weep. You ever been there? You ever been to a place to where you cried so much you can't cry no more? You cry and nothing comes out of your eyes? That's where David and his men were. You see, in deep sorrowing, all of a sudden, guess what? The men that were faithful to David, that loved David, that stood beside David, now you know what they want to do to him? They want to stone him. They want to take his life now. Because guess whose fault it was? Because their wives and kids were gone. It's his. You see, sometimes sorrowing, those besetting sins will surface in your life during those times. You see, besetting sins impede spiritual progress. Now think about this, church. If I'm surrounded or entangled, then my hope of escape diminishes. And usually what happens is we give in, we give up, we give out. Because we've come to the conclusion, I can't ever win over this. I can't ever win over this besetting sin. You see, these things, our fatigue and sickness and stress and sorrowing, as I mentioned earlier, break down our physical resistance to sin. As you know, when we break down physically, the next place we break down is spiritually. Now, with that said, here's what I want to do tonight. I'm going to give you four real quick things and we'll be done. Okay? So if we're going to address the sin that easily besets us, then how am I getting surrounded? How am I allowing this sin to surround me and do it so easily without any opposition? Now, I'm just going to give you some practical things, give you a few illustrations I want you to think about. First of all, write this down. The reason many times that those besetting sins come about and get a hold of your life so easily is because it comes by natural temperament and disposition. Your natural temperament and disposition. Now, I want you to write that down and look up here at me. I'll give you some illustrations here of people in the Bible, and I want you to notice how different their temperament is and what sins overcame them. Okay, and we're going to look at that in just a second. But I want to say this. God has made everyone different. God has given everyone in this room different abilities, different talents, different personalities, and that's how God made you. That's how God equipped you. And you know what you need to get to? You need to get used to it, because that's how you are. God made you with a certain temperament. You ever notice how excited and happy some people are all the time? Think, man alive, what store do you go get that from? How can I go buy some of that? But then on the other hand, you got somebody that's always, just seems like they're always discouraged and depressed. They never have anything positive to say. And then you got the rest of us that are somewhere in between the two. But when you look out across the congregation, you'll look at everybody and you'll find out people have different temperaments. They have different dispositions. But may I say to you and warn you tonight, church, that your temperament and disposition also makes you susceptible to certain sins. Now, let me give you quickly here tonight some people in the Bible and tell you what their sin was. Moses. When you look at Moses' temperament, his besetting sin seemed to be anger. And it seemed to be, listen, he got so angry as an Egyptian or in the nation of Egypt. Remember, when he saw an Egyptian beating up on a Hebrew, he killed the guy. He lost control. You see, for some reason, his particular disposition and temperament, his besetting sin seemed to be anger. By the way, you know where that anger got him? That anger got him not being able to go into the promised land. That's where his anger got him. But his disposition, his temperament seemed to be susceptible to anger. Let's go to his sister just for a moment. His sister's disposition was a little bit different. Her temperament was a little bit different, but it seemed to be susceptible to criticism and gossip. You see, her disposition seemed to lend itself to a totally different besetting sin than her brother's. Let's go to Jacob. His sin seemed to be lying and deception. But you know what? It seemed to be, when you read about his life, it seemed to be lying and deception seemed to follow him everywhere he went because of his temperament, because of the disposition he had. How about David? Sensuality. David was probably, in the Bible, my opinion, the most melancholy man in all the Bible. But you know where melancholy's? You know what the sin that so easily beset David was? Sensuality. Now, he was totally different than Moses. Totally different temperament than Paul had. How about Peter? Peter was one of those guys, hey, you know what? Act first, think later. So you know what the sin that so easily beset him? Carelessness. He was just careless. A perfect illustration. Remember in Gethsemane? Judas betrays Jesus. They come to get to lay their hands on Christ. What does Peter do? Bless God. He swung. Listen, now folks, I doubt very seriously that Peter took martial arts and was so good that he just took his ear off. I don't think he's going for the ear at all. I think he's going for the rascal's head. Now, it's kind of like Brother Bob when we hunt. It's kind of like some of our shots. You know what I'm talking about? It's the reason some of us don't have no meat in the freezer. That's all right, Brother Bob, I'll share. Now, Peter's problem was carelessness. But listen to me, go look at his life. His temperament lended itself to that type of sin. Now, the thing about it is, folks, you and I, we need to look at ourselves in the mirror and we need to understand how God made us and what sins so easily beset me because of my disposition, how God made me. Thomas had a problem with unbelief. And I could go on and on and on. But do you see how different all of these people were? And yet all of them were susceptible to different besetting sins. Now, and it seemed like those sins had easy access into their life. Each person had a different sin that they opened the door because of the weakness of their temperament. All right, so I find that besetting sins surface. Remember now, when you're tired, you're sick, you're stressed, you're sorry. But then I find just my temperament lends itself to certain sins, besetting sins. All right, number two. I've got a scripture for you on this one, all right? 2 Peter chapter 2. Turn there if you would, please. Second Peter chapter number 2. And verse 20. All right, 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. Peter says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." Did you see the word entangled again? Here's the second thing I find. Not only does our temperament lend itself to besetting sins, but number two, by the past we indulged in before salvation. The past that we indulged ourselves in before salvation seems to bring back those besetting sins. And let me tell you something, folks. If you were saved later on in life like I was, you'll find out that those sins that you partook of in the past and indulged in the past, after you get saved, will return with greater power than they were before you were saved. You see, Demas, I think, kind of fell into this category. Because Paul said, "Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present." You see, Demas got saved, it seemed to be, a little bit later in life. Didn't seem to get saved as a kid, and was a convert of the Apostle Paul. And he said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Could it be that maybe some sins of the past that Demas indulged in is what drew him back to the world? Can I say also that members of the church of Corinth fell back into that? You go read the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll find out, boy, they had all kinds of problems with sensuality. All kinds of problems. They fell into that. Why? Because when you go read about Corinth and the gods that they used to serve, you know what their gods were? They were all sensual gods. So they fell back into it after the church was established. So Paul had to correct it. And he corrected it pretty sternly. But I'm here, I just want to give you some understanding, folks, that sometimes past our past that we indulged in before salvation lends itself to that easily part. That no difficulty of finding an entrance because we've left the door open to it. You see, salvation doesn't protect you from besetting sins. Now, they will over and over attempt to surround your life and squeeze every ounce of desire to serve God out of your life. As much as I wish salvation, I could say salvation is going to protect you from it, I'd lie to you if I told you that. Now salvation, you know what it's going to protect me from? It's going to protect me from hell. It ain't going to protect me from that besetting sin. So I've got to be aware. I've got to understand. When I'm sick, when I'm tired, I'm sick, I'm stressed, I'm sorry, that's when that besetting sin seems to surface. My temperament lends itself to besetting sins and open doors, and my past sins that I've indulged in. Here's number three. Number three, by exposure through jobs, relationships, and just general life situations. Exposure through job, relationships, and life, just general life situations. Folks, listen, I cannot tell you how many people over the 25 years that I've been a member of this church that I've seen come in here fired up, they go get a job, and the job and the people on the job pull them away. Because the people on the job practiced bad methods of living. And because they weren't strong enough to withstand those bad standards of living, they sucked them in. They got them involved in drinking. They've got them involved in drugs. They've got them involved in infidelity. They've got them involved in all kinds of things and destroyed their family, destroyed their lives. You know how that besetting sin got in? Because they exposed themselves on a job, or relationships or in just general life situations. Folks, can I just give you a quick counseling statement? Don't make decisions without getting godly counsel. Don't make decisions without getting godly counsel. You know somebody that kind of fits this scenario that I'm telling you about, that exposed himself to a bad relationship? That was Amnon. You can go read about him in 2 Samuel chapter 13. Remember, the Bible says Amnon had a friend. His friend's name was Jonadab. And you know how the Bible describes Jonadab? The Bible says he was a very subtle man. Anytime you see God describe somebody subtle, you need to get away from them, because they're up to no good. And you know, it was his friend. It was a relationship. You see, wait a minute now. Stop. Time out. When you go read about Amnon, he already had this problem prior to this. I mean, there was something going on in this guy prior to Jonadab. But that relationship he got himself into enhanced. It enhanced that besetting sin in him, and he listened to his friend, and he went out and committed sin with Tamar. Now, the whole problem was, he exposed himself in an area that led him to the destruction of his life and his family. And I mean, he was messed up from then on, folks. He's messed up before that. He's really messed up after this. But it was all because of exposure to job, people on the job, relationships, just general life situations. And again, I could go on and on. But my purpose tonight is to get you to think about how easily, what are we doing to allow these besetting sins to get in so easily? So easily. Be on guard when you're tired, you're sick, you're stressed, you're sorrowing. Watch your temperament. Understand what you're susceptible to. Past sins indulged in. People we expose ourselves to. Here's number four. Character weaknesses. Character weaknesses. Now, all of us have weaknesses. We are not invincible. We're not impenetrable. All of us have weaknesses. Now, the thing about it is this, folks. I had to get in front of the mirror one day and look at myself and admit to myself, you got weaknesses, and here's what they are. And you know what? I looked at myself and told self, self, here are your problems. Now, you know what? I could almost swore that that image in the mirror talked back to me. But it wasn't that image in the mirror talking back to me. It was that still, small voice inside says, you know what? You're exactly right. That's who you are. That's what you are. And you know what? You need to get that right. Because if you don't get that right, you're going to hurt your family. You're going to hurt your life. You're going to hurt the church. You're going to hurt me. Look at yourself and admit you have weaknesses in your character. Now, that's just self-knowledge. That's just admitting that I have weak points and I'm exposing myself. Listen, if I know what my character weaknesses are, I've got to be out of my mind to expose myself in areas of my life where I know I'm weak. I'm out of my mind to do that. You see, character are those qualities by which we govern our actions, our speech, and our thoughts. You know who had a problem with weakness of character that just led him to destruction? Go read Samson's life. You're talking about a guy that had character issues. And you know where those character issues led him? That led him to those besetting sins. He could never get away from it. It just seemed like once he seemed like he'd be on the right track, you know what? It'd pop its ugly head again because of the character flaws, and the reason it led him to basically taking his own life was because he never addressed them. Peter, likewise, had some character flaws. As I mentioned, he always was one of those guys that thought last, acted first. You ever notice how argumentative Peter was, even with Jesus? Go look at, read how many times that he confronted Jesus and argued with him. And folks, I don't know if you understand. Do you understand he was arguing with God? You ever done that? You ever got on your knees and said, Lord, now listen, I just don't understand that you're wrong. You're flat out wrong. I know the good and well that this shouldn't have happened. And you argue and you argue and argue with God. And after it's all said and done, and you go, now there it goes. Take that. God just, are you finished? Because if you're finished now, I will talk. And when he talks, you better listen. You know, God takes a lot of our lip that he don't have to take. But the reason he takes it is because he remembers that we're but dust of the ground. And he realizes, you know what? If they had a half a bit of sense, he wouldn't be doing this. But Peter, very argumentative. Now, let me finish up and say this. Go back and look at our verse, Hebrews 12:1. Go back and look at it. Here's what Paul says. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Circle those two words. Draw an arrow out beside your Bible. Write the word pride. I think that's what he's talking about, because he said the sin. The is singular, one. I believe he's talking about one particular sin, pride, which everything else stems from that one sin. And he says all the others. Pride first, and then it just seems to breed all these others in our life. He said it's that sin that so easily, with very little difficulty, surrounds you, entangles you to the point to where it seems like it's very difficult to get away from it. But be on guard. That besetting sin is going to show up in your life when you're tired, when you're sick, when you're stressed, when you're sorrowing, you're grieving. Just watch for it. And just take a word of advice. I've been there, folks. That besetting sin shows up every time I find myself in one of those four areas. So the next time you find yourself, you say, man alive, Brother Todd, I think I'm coming down with a sore throat. I think I'm getting sick. Beware. Beware. Because that sin that so easily besets you is about to surface in your life. And what I want you to do is when you come to the altar tonight, just search your heart. My purpose tonight was not to point out sin, but to help you and me to see how it easily gets in and how it so easily surrounds and entangles us. Would you bow your heads with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. You say, preacher, I don't know for sure that heaven's my home.